The Small Enterprise Foundation has managed a great feat, dispersing around 8.7 billion rand to mostly poor business people in rural areas since 1992. It's a non-profit business, and its main thrust is to help transform particularly the lives of the poor. The organization has helped to create some 200,000 jobs in the process. It was set up by John De Witt and Matome Malachi. Interestingly, SEF says only about 0.2% of the loans it disperses are at risk of not being paid back. To tell us more about the work of the Small Enterprise Foundation and its impact on the communities it served, I'm joined in studio by John De Witt. He's Managing Director at the Small Enterprise Foundation. Thanks very much for joining us, John, in studio. You've been operating since 1992 and you've dispersed some 8.7 billion rand up to now, and your clientele have tended to be those who have no assets or collateral to speak of. So what's your business model?
So essentially, our organization is a non-profit organization. It was started to try and tackle the problem of poverty in our country and the problem of unemployment. The way that we try to do this is to recognize that poor people, even very poor people, they have got the ability, they have got the determination, the desire to employ themselves if they can't find employment. So if they're given a chance, they will start a small income-generating project, a small business. The problem for them is that they're very poor.
Yes.
So they don't have the money to start the
business.
That's
right.
So if we could just provide them with that key ingredient, that could give them the first step towards self-employment.
So when we talk about the Small Enterprise Foundation's microloans, what's the minimum and maximum you lend to people, and what sort of interest rates do you charge?
So the minimum we lend is 1,000 rand. In our main program, which is the one which has been going since 1992, the maximum there is 25,000 rand. The average first loan people take is 2,000 rand. And the average loan overall is 4,000 rand.
So right.
There's not that many people who are taking up at the 22,000 rand level.
Okay.
And then you asked about the interest rate. So if you are borrowing a loan of 1,000 rand, then over the life of the loan, you're going to pay interest of 112 rand in interest.
Okay.
Now, if you take declining balance and you do effective calculations and so on, that's going to land up with what sounds like a shocking rate of 32%.
Yes.
And obviously 32% is, you know, it's a very high percentage. 112 rand on 1,000, you know, it's not that significant, especially when that 112 rand is spread over 6 months.
Yes.
So this would be a six-month loan. So that means that your income per month, 112 divided by 6, is only, 21 rand. The think about, like, why such a high rate?
Yes.
Why is the 32%? We work in the rural villages. That's our main focus. 90% of our clients are in South Africa's rural villages and the deepest rural villages that, you know, you can mention.
Yes.
We go out and we see our clients in those villages twice a month. So that cost of getting out to the villages to meet people. And then not only do we provide them with loans, we also provide them with financial education as well.
Yes, that's right.
And so these things add to the costs and land up with that.
Just add on, you know, that non-financial assistance that you give people. What does that entail?
You know, we've been experimenting with lots of different models of how can you bring capacity building, how can you bring training to very poor people, especially as many of them are illiterate. We experimented with sort of classroom models. So we'd have a training, which we did for several years. It would do something like, okay, how do you do costing and pricing? How do you do marketing in sort of a classroom environment? And that worked to some extent. But following a lot of efforts all around the world to achieve the same things, what's proven to be the most successful, you know, in very rigorous studies of it, is where you focus on building people's initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can aim at that, if you can build people's self-confidence, then you get much more success than if you did technical skills training in a sort of classroom
How
situation.
Do you do that?
So essentially we have our facilitators. They, as I say, they see every client twice a month.
Yes.
On one of those occasions, what they'll do is they'll be meeting with 30 or 40 clients, and they will pose a question to the group of 30 people or so. So
yes.
They'll say something like, okay, everybody's got challenges of selling on credit, but your customers are demanding that they want to buy things on credit. So how do you go about doing that? And then somebody will stand up and, you know, give some ideas. Oh, I sell on credit, and this is how I do it. And then they say, anybody else? And then allowing the not, so they must not provide the answers. They must not provide the conversation.
Yes.
They must just encourage conversation and help people to come up with their, to express their own experiences.
And learn from each other.
And learn from each other.
Super. Yeah. So how do you capture new clients? Do you do any marketing, or it's all by word of mouth?
It's very much by word of mouth, but what the process is that when we're going to start working in a new village, so we'll go to the leadership of that village, whether it's tribal leadership or civic leadership or both, and get the go ahead from them to talk to the village. Then when they have a community meeting, village meeting, then we will present what we're going to do and ask for the go-ahead to operate. The next step is that we will meet with representatives of each section of the village and ask them to help us identify the poorest households. So we'll have this participatory process where we are identifying the poorest households.
Wow.
Now, as we're going through all these steps, we're in the village and people are hearing about us and people start coming to us and saying, oh, you know, I used to run a little business, but it collapsed because of this and that.
Mm.
Oh, could you help me to start a business? Could you give me a loan to start a business?
Mm.
And so it's word of mouth, but we are there, you know,
understood.
And we are promoting.
Understood.
Way,
yeah. So how much capital did you start with in 1992 when you and your partner, Matome Malachi, set up the Small Enterprise Foundation?
I had enough money that I wouldn't need to earn a salary for 2 years, and that was all.
Wow.
I was practically a student. I was just out of university, so I could live on R1,000 a month, you know, in those days. accommodation now, a student lives in very humble accommodation.
Yes.
And so that we had to start, we had to go out and try and fundraise. So we started in Tzaneen in the Limpopo province. And a leading businessman there, he very much liked what we were going to do, and so he offered to introduce us to all the businesses in Tzaneen. And he wrote a letter of introduction. We sent it out. 40 letters went out, and we had 2 responses. The one response said, sorry, we are overcommitted. And then the other said, here is R4,000. So that was the first little bit of capital. But
wow.
even in those days, R4,000 you couldn't do anything with.
Yes.
And then we were lucky in that IBM actually, they gave us enough money so that we could hire 2 staff and we would have enough loan capital to do the very first loans. So it was donor funded in the beginning.
Excellent. So basically the interest that you earn helps to run your business, run the venture of helping other people.
Yes. So now we're working with close to 200,000. So we started with 0 then, obviously. Now we're working with close to 200,000 people. They have a total loans of nearly R600 million. So we've had to, we're borrowing 500 of that 600 million we are borrowing. And then we have to pay, prime plus 1, prime plus 2.
Yes.
Actually, typically it's prime plus 3, in fact.
Okay.
On that money. So the interest earnings go towards funding that, paying that cost, and then paying all the operating costs. So all the salaries and the vehicle expenses and so on and so forth. And then not only that, but because we will reach more clients next year and more clients the year thereafter, we have to keep growing our capital.
Yes.
So any surpluses that we make in a year, we have to put back into the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that enables us to borrow more money in the future.
Super. Understood. So when people ask for loans, do you generally ask what the funds are for? Let me put it another way. Do you have an idea broadly of where most of the funds have actually gone and the kind of impact they've had on communities?
So when we're working, we're always stressing that our money is for business. This is for people who want to start a business. And so our development facilitators, that's our frontline person on the ground in the villages, they will be stressing that if you take a loan, it must be for business. Nevertheless, other things happen in people's lives.
Mm.
So maybe they take that first loan, they use it for business, they come back, they take a second loan, and then something happens in the family. You know, somebody is sick. And so then they take the loan money instead of using it for the business, you know, they use it now for medical expenses. Mm. Or they're just getting the loan at the time that school fees are due.
Yes.
College, university fees or school uniforms or something like that. Or all those other things that happen in people's lives. So although we keep putting the stress on that money is for business, we know that that some of the money does leak into non-business purposes.
One of the things that really fascinates me, how is it that by your estimation only 0.2% of your loan portfolio is at risk? How comes you've been so successful in this area where traditional banks don't fare so well and have to write off a greater proportion of the loans that they dispense, even though they're serving a more well-off clientele?
The reason why do we have such a high repayment rate?
Yes.
If I could put the question that way. So as I've mentioned, we're working with poor people and people who live not only below the poverty line, but below half the poverty line. So very poor people.
Yes.
One of the key things is that the people we work with incredibly appreciate the opportunity that's given to them. Here is a chance to start a business. Here is a chance to break the cycle of poverty. So they have huge respect for that. Then what we do is that if somebody wants to take a loan from us, our problem is we don't know them. They can't provide any collateral.
Yes.
They can't provide a written business plan. Many people are illiterate and don't have that kind of financial skills.
Yes.
So how do we now give a loan to somebody you don't know, can't provide you with a business plan, and can't provide you with collateral? And this was a challenge which many people around the world were facing in the 1980s. Many different programs, same objectives, wanting to help people come out of poverty, recognize enterprise development as a really good way of doing that. Mm. Knowing the poor could start the enterprises if only we could get money into their hands, but we have to get it back again.
That's right.
To reach more people. And so people were trying lots of different things in different countries. And a professor in Bangladesh, Muhammad Yunus, he came up with the idea of saying, if you want to give one poor woman a loan, ask her to go and find four other women who she knows very well, who she really trusts. Let the five come together and let them all guarantee each other's loans. All five will get their own loan for their own business. Mm. So it's not a cooperative business. Everybody gets a loan, but for their own business. And we tested that model in South Africa, and it really works. People said, essentially, when the poor make the commitment that I will repay this loan and I will guarantee my fellow group members, they keep that commitment.
Mm.
I mean, so we have to do some work. We have to organize things well. We have to do good administration.
Yes.
We have to make sure the groups are well formed. We have to design the loans in a sensible way. I mean, if you give somebody a loan but it's badly designed, they're going to default on the loan.
Yes.
So by getting all those little
details
together, then we get this very high repayment rates.
John, a pleasure talking to you. What a fantastic initiative, and well done for helping so many people.
Thank you.
That was John DeWitt. He's Managing Director at the Small Enterprise Foundation.